In a major speech last Thursday, President-elect Barack Obama issued a warning of an economic crisis which is, quote, unlike any we have faced in our lifetime. Already records show that more jobs were lost in 2008 than any other year since World War II. Almost all sectors are feeling the economic crisis and the pressure to find sources of income. Grabe raw ang krisis na pang-ekonomiya na hinaharap ng mundo sa taong ito, badala ng nagsimula pa nung nakaraang taon. At lahat ng mga sektor nararamdaman ang higpit ng pangangailangan ng dahilan sa krisis na ito. Even the Roman Catholic Church has reported a significant reduction in offering at a time of increase in attendance. It seems that during times of economic crisis, people attend church more but give less. Well, pag crisis, nagsisimba silang mas madalas, pero mas kaunti ang ibinibigay. Now, as a church, we will soon be in discussion of our financial concerns for the year 2009. And this is the time that I do say something about the Christian duty of giving. And for this, and you know that for much of the rest of the year, there is little else I say. But I do feel that we are obligated to somehow address this issue at a time that we will make a decision concerning the finances of the church. Sometimes I use the Sunday school lesson, at other times the morning service. Well, for this year, I deliberately chose the afternoon service where we have less number of visitors to address this concern to us as a church in a more direct fashion. Well, probably just like the rest, we will feel this year the economic crunch. During such times, we prioritize our expenses. And for most people, the giving of offering in church is way down in their priority. Kapag tayo gumawa ng mga prioridad, lalo pat kinukulang tayo, gumagawa tayo ng listahan ng mga talagang unang dapat pagkagastusan, malimit sa maraming tao, yung kaloob sa iglesia, yung kaloob sa simbahan, ay napakababa ng kanilang prioridad. Kumbagay, uunahin nila ang mga gastusing pambahay, gastusing pang-eskwelahan, gastusing mga pang-trabaho, at kung may matira, baka sakaling maisip yung kaloob sa iglesia. At makikita natin dito, offering in church is way down in priority. And if any of us belongs to such minded people, I want you to reconsider. I don't intend to stand here and make a plea like a salesman for more giving of money in the church. My concern is of a more noble issue. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Our text for this two-part series is verses 15 and 16, but let's begin reading verse 12. Hebrews 13, 12 to 16. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, the writer here is winding down his major argument in his letter. Ang pinaka-major argument niya sa kanyang sulat sa Hebrews ay the superiority of Jesus to Judaism. Because of the persecution that some Christians were suffering, some of them were beginning to go back to Judaism. Parang sinasabi nila, we made a bad bargain. Why were we not suffering as Jews? Now we're suffering as Christians. And some of them are going back to their Jewish faith. And one argument of the writer in writing the letter to the Hebrews is to show and to argue that Jesus is superior. One word that he keeps repeating in this letter is better. Jesus is better than the angels, better than Moses, better than the Aaronic priesthood, better than the temple sacrifices. And on he goes in order to argue the case for the superiority of Jesus to that of Judaism. And a major issue in that argument is the superiority of the once for all sacrifice of Christ to that of the ceremonial sacrifices done in the temple. And with that superiority comes the superiority of worship. Kung maganda yung pagsamba ng mga Hudyo sa kanilang templo, ngayong yan ay tinupad na sa minsanang sakripisyo ng Panginoong Heso Kristo, ang pagsambang Kristiyano ngayon ay mas makahulugan, mas mabisa, mas tinatanggap ng Diyos kaysa pagsamba na ginaganap lamang sa templo. This much we can say of Christian worship. As the writer says, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There is anytime an offering before God because of Christ. Samantalang doon sa templo, kalanghintayin mo ang pari o saserdote bago magkaroon ng paghahain at yan ay dalawang ulit lamang sa isang araw, morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. Ang sinasabi rito ng may akda, by Him, by Christ, there is a continuing sacrifice. We can approach God anytime in worship. But this time, the major offering of the Christian worship is not an animal victim to be burned. The sacrificial offering now is spelled out by the writer as that of praising God. Yung sakripisyo na natin na hindi tayo nagdadalaan ng kordero o mga hayop na susunugin, ang inihahain na natin sa Diyos ngayon bilang kaloob at handog ay mga papuri sa kanyang pangalan. Yun ay tinuturing na handog na susunugin. It's a burnt sacrifice, or as the writer calls it, calls them fruit of our lips, mga bunga ng ating mga labi. But now take note, the writer adds something that he hints is vulnerable to neglect. He says, do not forget, do not neglect in some translations. In other words, as you are doing this praise to God as fruit of your lips, as the sacrifice of our praise, there is something that you may tend to forget. There is something that you may tend to neglect. And what is that? To do good and to share. Now what is the writer referring to? Now, it is acceptable to conceive of this as applying to all good deeds and acts of sharing with others. Ang tinutukoy niya, maaari nating isipin, ay yung pangkalahatang mga mabubuting gawa sa iba na tayo nakikipag-ugnayan sa kanilang mga pangangailangan. Totoo yan. But I think in the context, it applies to church worship. Because if you take note that what follows in verse 17 is an exhortation to submit to those who minister the word. So you have here praising God. Now there is a ministry of the word which we know to be happening in preaching. Praising, preaching, where do you think this is, this doing good and sharing is happening? I submit therefore that while it may conceivably apply to all good deeds, but I think specifically the good deeds that the writer here addresses his readers not to forget and not to neglect is the offering of our substance as it happens in the worship of the church. My message is this: the offering of our substance is a true act of worship of God through Christ. Ang pagkakaloob ng ating yaman ay tunay na gawa ng pagsamba sa Diyos sa pamamagitan ni Kristo. The offering of our substance is a true act of worship of God through Christ. Now, as I've said, I'm not going to stand here for you to hear me appeal for more giving this year. I'm not going to be a salesman. Instead, my role is that of a pastor who will plead with you to be worshipful. Worshipful this year. And part of it is giving. We tend to forget this. We think of that which we give as necessary for the keeping of the operations of the church, to sustain the ministries, to pay the minister, and other matters. The writer calls this act of giving a sacrifice. And that is the most important and most significant word in the Old Testament to speak of the worship of God's people. They offer a sacrifice. And the writer makes it clear that that which is offered in the context of the worship of the church is a sacrifice. And he appeals that it should not be forgotten, it should not be neglected. Ang apela niya rito, huwag itong kalimutan. Ang ibig niyang sabihin, yung papuri Talagang madali nating maisip yan pag tayo'y nagsimba, pag tayo'y nagtipon bilang mga mananampalataya. Yun ang nasa isip natin. Anong gagawin natin ngayon? Tayo ay sasamba sa papuri sa Diyos, sa mga awitan natin, sa pakikinig ng kanyang salita. Ngunit maaari nating malimutan, makaligtaan o mapabayaan na bahagi ng pagsamba ay ang pagkakaloob ng ating mga handog. So it's not just to keep the church going. It is not just to sustain the operations and ministries of the church. When you give, you are worshiping God. So think of your offering as itself an act of worship, a real offering of sacrifice to God. Now how so? How is the offering of our substance an act of worship? I suggest two things. First, it is through the mediation of Christ. It is through the mediation of Christ. And secondly, it is for the pleasure of God. It is for the pleasure of God. So in these two ways, when you give your offering, and I'm not talking about the procedure, sometimes pastors debate, what is the best procedure of worship? Should we have the offering bag passed around, or should we have just a box put at the back of the congregation? I don't mind about these procedures. The point is how you give. And when you give, it is to be an act of worship. How is this to be an act of worship? First of all, it is through the mediation of Christ. Now, I already told you that the major theme of this letter to the Hebrews is the unique and superior mediation of Christ. It is spelled out in that very succinct expression, through Him or by Him. Now, because it is now through Him or by Him that we worship God, it has a negative impact in that it renders meaningless any approach to God other than through Him. Anumang paglapit sa Diyos na hindi sa pamamagitan ni Yesu Kristo, ikaw man ay pumunta sa templo, ikaw man ay mayroong mga saserdote ng templo para silang mamagitan sa iyo, walang saysay. Yan ang isang bagay na diniin ng may akda dito sa Hebreo. Those things are rendered meaningless because now our approach to God is through Christ. Animal sacrifices based on the Mosaic law have become useless and meaningless. They will never take away sins, he says. No, but the positive impact of this is to say that whatever we render to God in worship is made meaningful through the mediation of Christ. Makahulugan ang panambahan na inihahandog sa Diyos sa pamamagitan ni Jesu Kristo. And the offering too must be mediated by Christ. So this is one thing we need to recall and bear in mind, brethren. The offering of our substance is an approach to God. Ang pagkakaloob ng ating mga handog ay paglapit sa Diyos. At ito'y tinatanggap lamang sa pamamagitan ng tagapamagitan, ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Now, you see, some approach their offering like a formula for blessing. And this is very rampant in our day. I give this much, I expect to receive as much. And this commercial-minded approach cannot be considered worship. It is trading with God. And it is many times on the very edge of blasphemy. The way preachers and teachers present this duty of offering like a formula of blessing. And yet it is very rampant. Others approach their offering as an act of discipline and obligation. Now that is good. But listen to me, it can be done in a fashion that there is no worship. You may look at it as a budget commitment. When you receive income, I know some Christians I really commend, they are trained to immediately think of their tithe plus their offering. Before thinking of anything else, they think of their tithe and offering. And how can you not commend that? That is a very commendable thing, to immediately think of what they are to give in the church. I commend such commitment, but even then, I still say and warn, it can be less than worship. The basic of any true and genuine worship is, of course, it is worship of God. For anything less is idolatry. Anumang mas mababa sa ibigay sa Diyos, ihandog sa Diyos, ay magiging tulad sa isang Diyos-Diyosan. And it can be done. It can happen in the church. Praise in the lips may actually be not worship in the heart. Remember the rebuke of Jesus, quoting from Isaiah, "These people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And if that can be true of praise, I tell you that can be true of giving. That there can be the posture of giving with the hands, but the heart can be far from God. It may just be giving that allocates a budgeted portion of one's income, and yet no spirit of worship. Maaring mangyari na merong commitment yung nagbibigay na kapag siya'y may sinahod, agad niyang iniisip anong dapat ibigay sa simbahan, maganda yung commitment na yun, pero pwedeng gawin iyon ng walang pagsamba. Sapagkat ang pinakapayak na laman ng tunay na pagsamba ay ginagawa ito para sa Diyos. Kung paano ang isang pumupuri ng kanyang labi ay maaring wala sa kanyang puso, gayon din yung nagbibigay mula sa kanyang kamay, wala rin sa kanyang puso ang paghahandog sa Diyos. That can happen. And so we need to examine ourselves when we give. What is the exact spirit of worship of which the offering is an act? Well, the words of the writer here is giving thanks to His name. Nagpapasalamat sa kanyang pangalan. Now, this is where I say is the importance of the mediation of Jesus Christ. Why even the offering should be by the mediation of Jesus Christ, because here Christ plays the major role in that He is the most important favor of God to us that should never exhaust our gratitude to Him. Bakit sa pamamagitan ni Jesucristo? Sapagkat si Jesucristo ang pinakadakilang pabor ng Diyos sa atin na dahil sa Kanya, hindi tayo dapat maubusan ng pasasalamat. Parang katulad ng sinabi ni Habakuk, nawala na ng bunga lahat ng fig tree, lahat ng bukirin, dahil ito ay nilimas ng mga Babylonian invaders. And yet, anong sabi niya? "Even then, I will have joy in my God." And if an Old Testament saint can say that, all the more a New Testament saint should be able to say, "Take away everything, but with Jesus, I still have favor from God. I still have reason to say thank you to God." Naiisip mo ba yun sa yung pagbibigay? Yung pagbibigay natin ay pagpapasalamat. If one should give in his offering with a hidden motive of getting from God in return, that's not gratitude. That's commerce. That's trade. Parang nangangalakal sa nakikipagkalakalan sa Diyos. If one should give and just be relieved that he has dispensed with a church duty so as not to bother his conscience, how can that be worship? It's not the outburst of gratitude. Or one may give because of blessings received in abundance, but what if you're not receiving in abundance? Will your giving be without gratitude? And when it comes to gratitude, brethren, nothing should provoke more gratitude in our hearts than to have the favor of Jesus Christ. You may be favored with a good job and be thankful to God for it. You may be favored with good health and be thankful to God for it. But there is nothing like the favor of God in Jesus Christ. That's why in 2 Corinthians 9, as Paul was multiplying the reasons for thanking God, suddenly he has this outburst in 2 Corinthians 9:15. "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." He had plural after plural of the blessings of God. Suddenly he thought of this singular, this indescribable gift, which I believe is a reference to Jesus Christ. Sa gitna ng mga kaloob ng Diyos, meron ditong kaloob niya na hindi na niya malirip, hindi na niya mabigyan ng mga angkop na pananalita. And he can only describe it as indescribable gift. And that is what you and I must be doing when we give of our offering by whatever means, thanking, giving thanks to His name, most especially through Jesus Christ. And that is what God is seeking. That is how God is worshipped, by the gratitude of our hearts. We were singing, "No gifts have we to offer, for all thy love imparts, but that which thou desirest, our humble, thankful heart." Do you have that at least when you worship God? Puspos ba ang puso mo ng pasasalamat? At isa ito sa mga bagay na masasabi kong universal sin of mankind. Remember when Apostle Paul was listing down the sins of people in the world before he went to idolatry and crass immorality of the pagan world, he began with two things that people failed to do in Romans 1:21. That though he was God, they do not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. By those two things, all men and women in the world are guilty. And those are the two things God expects the least of his creatures. That because he is God, they should glorify him. And because he is good, they should be thankful to him. But our generation does not teach us that. Our generation teaches us to complain. Media bombards us with materials to say life sucks. And instead of being thankful, we complain. Our hearts become a factory of complaints, both the crude and the sophisticated. Well, for the Christian, he always has something to neutralize any complaint. He may not have a good house in terms of possession, not that of a good job in terms of income or whatever else that he does not have. But to have Christ, it answers everything. And it is therefore the mediation of Christ that sets your offering in the right spirit of worship. The giving of offering, let me emphasize, is not paying God for his favors on us. It is not possible to pay God at all. The right spirit when we think of any substance we give to God is the same as David exclaimed when he had a project of funding the temple. He was not allowed to build the temple himself, but he was mindful of funding it so that Solomon may have something to begin with his project. And when the funding began and all these offerings came in, David exclaimed, and he said in 1 Chronicles 29:14, "Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this?" And now listen to this. "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." Lahat ay galing sa iyo, at anumang ibinigay namin ay yung galing din sa iyo. And that's something that we need to realize and should inform our giving. Gratitude will displace every wrong spirit of giving in the offering of substance to God. Take the spirit of stinginess, yung pagkamaramot. We do not measure, by the way, stinginess or its opposite, generosity, by the amount that is given. A wealthy man may give a million, and yet God can see through his stinginess in his heart. And by opposite measure, just like the widow in the gospel story, one may give a peso with generosity. So let me make myself clear, we don't measure generosity and stinginess by the absolute amount. The question rather is, are you a grateful giver? Is offering rendered as worship through the mediation of Christ? Does the favor of God in Christ loom large to your grateful soul when you give your offering? O may kausap ba ako rito na hindi mo alam sa iyong karanasan ang dakilang pabor ng Diyos sa pagbibigay niya ng kanyang anak? Hindi niya ipinagkait upang ang sumampalataya sa kanya ay maligtas. Perhaps you know the favor of a good education. Perhaps you know the favor of good friends and a good family. You have all these favors, but this one favor you still have to experience. And I'm appealing to you yet once more, come to Christ. There is no greater favor than He is. And when you have that sense of favor, how can you not give wholeheartedly and with generosity, whatever the amount? But the question is, am I giving as a grateful giver, whether rich or poor? I remember the story of a poor family in the church, and there was an announcement in the church: we will give special offering, and whatever we accumulate of this special offering, we will give to the poorest of the family among us. Well, this poor family thought of how to really give as a sign of their gratitude, and inipon niya yung kanyang mga anak at sabi niya, mga anak, tayo ay magpapahayag ng ating pasasalamat sa Diyos kahit tayo mahirap, sinustentuhan niya tayo. And so whatever they could get from their meager income, they would put into their savings for the offering. And the day came for the special offering by the church, and this poor family was able to save up $50. And they gave it to the church. Well, that night, they got a knock on the door, and when they opened the door, it was the pastor. And the pastor said, well, friends or brethren, it was decided by the deacons that you are the poorest family and the special offering of the church should be given to you. Now, that would have been a happy story, except that when the full offering of the church was given to them, it was $100. So $50 was accumulated by this family. The rest of the whole church gave what they were able to give. So it's on the one hand, sign of God's blessing that it should return to them. But on the other hand, what a shame that the rest did not give out of the abundance of gratitude except this family. And you ask yourself, are you giving whenever you give your offering in the church with that gratitude, knowing that He has granted you so much favor and there is no greater favor than Jesus Christ? So it is an act of worship because it is by the mediation of Christ. Secondly, it is still an act of worship because it is for the pleasure of God. Ito ay para sa kaluguran ng Diyos. Here the writer reminds his readers of the result. When you do not forget doing good and sharing, what happens? He says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Sa mga sakripisyong ganyan, ang Diyos ay nalulugod. Now, in the letter to the Hebrews, the only other place where this word occurs, that God is well pleased, is concerning Enoch. Hebrews 11:5. God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Well, we all know the story of Enoch, the one man who did not die. And the reason given, attached to his life, he pleased God. Now that's the very word now used when you do not forget good deeds and sharing. And as I suggested, in the offering of your substance, God is pleased. Now let me say, there is a right sense and a wrong sense of pleasing God through the offering gift. He is not pleased the way we are pleased when we, for example, receive our income. There's nothing wrong being pleased with receiving our income, but we are pleased because it is gain for us. We gain financially. Yun ang kaluguran natin, nasasayahan tayo sapagkat may tinubo, may kinita tayo. Well, pagans may think that way of their gods, but such a thought has no place in the Christian mind. Never imagine that you add anything to the treasury of God. How can we? Psalm 50 verse 10 and following, "Every beast of the forest is mine," says God. "And the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness." Dare we even imagine we add something to the treasury of God? Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." Sa Kanya lahat yan. Huwag natin isipin na nalulugod ang Diyos sapagkat pag tayo nagbibigay, may naidaragdag tayo sa Kanya. He is pleased the way we are pleased. And this is an imperfect analogy, but it makes the point. He is pleased the way we are pleased when our little child gives his peso in sincerity and delight, thinking that it will make us happy. And yes, we are happy, but not because the amount adds anything to us. We are happy because of the act. It pleases us. Why? Because the peso, for whatever amount it is, it represents this child's joy in communing with his parent. He did it to please you. And the gesture touches you. And while the analogy is imperfect, it makes the point. And my challenge, brethren, is cultivate in your heart the motive of pleasing God in everything, including in your offering. Now, there is something about this motive that stands out. Pleasing God terminates on God, not on us. If you want to please someone, you do not ask if it will return to you, for that will be your pleasure, not the person. To please someone, it is sufficient that you know that the gesture is for his delight. And brethren, worship from beginning to end has that overarching motive. Ang pagsamba ay may ganyang motibo mula simula hanggang wakas. Ang bigyang kaluguran ang Diyos. Ito ang batayan na ang pagsamba natin ay ayon lang sa iniuutos ng Diyos, hindi kung anong gusto natin gawin, kundi ano lang ang gusto niya. Because worship is for the pleasure of God. Much of worship today does not even pause to ask whether what is being done is for God's pleasure. They do it because they are pleased doing it, but they don't pause to ask, is this something that God has required? But if we will put the offering as part of worship, then that too must be rooted in this motive. Take careful note, however, that the writer presents this as a motive that encourages. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In other words, his purpose is to encourage. The opposite of this is the grudging spirit, the very spirit that makes giving ugly. Para bang pag minsan nang hingi ka, sinumbatan ka muna ng katakot-takot at nagbigay naman, pero anong pakiramdam nung ibinigay niya sa iyo na nilagyan ng pambalot na sumbat? Hindi maganda. It's ugly. And that is the ugliness of grudging offering. Paul says so, 2 Corinthians 9:7. "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So not grudgingly. Some translation suggests reluctantly or grief. It's like giving by arm twisting. But here is the positive point in this. To a giver with the right spirit, to a giver who is cheerful in giving, the mystery of the motive of pleasing God is that he himself is pleased in his heart. And there's no joy to substitute for that joy of knowing you have pleased your God, and it turns into pleasure on your part. Frances Ridley Havergal was a woman who was a daughter of a minister. And as a child, she was surrounded with preaching and Christian stories. No wonder she was converted at age 14. And yet she herself was a woman of talent, and particularly that of writing songs. There are about 50 of her songs that still remain in our hymn books. But none stand out even to her than her song, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." It happened when she visited a house with several people inside, and she was going to spend 5 days in that house. And her prayer was to be of such a godly influence upon the members of that house. And at the end of the 5 days, indeed, that was what happened. And as a result of that, on the last night that she was going to spend in that house, according to her own testimony, every line of this hymn just came to her mind so fast, so speedily, until the very last that says, "Ever, only, all for thee." Ever in terms of time, only in terms of the uniqueness of our dedication to Him, and all in terms of what is it that we are giving to God. This is the spirit of true giving. It begins with "take my life." It ends with "ever, only, all for thee." And somewhere in between, it says, "take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Am I worshiping when I give?" Let's close in prayer. O dakila at mabuti naming Ama, naway ipaalala mo sa amin tuwi na ang iyong kabutihan, at upang sa aming pagdulog sa iyo at pagbibigay ng aming mga handog ay gawin namin ito hindi bilang isang pormula ng pangangalakal, hindi lang bilang isang commitment sa isang budget, kundi gawin namin ito bilang pagsamba sa iyong pangalan sa pamamagitan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And help us, Lord, that when we worship you through our offering, even that offering should be done through the mediation of Jesus Christ. For we are reminded that our offering is an act of worship, because it is, and it ought to be, thanksgiving. And there can be no greater reminder of how good you have been to us and the abundance of your favor than Jesus Christ. Because of Him, our gratitude should never be exhausted. For whatever it is we do not have in this world, to have Christ is to have the best from your hands. And thus we pray that we would learn more to be grateful. We would learn more to mortify the spirit of stinginess, the spirit of complaint, and teach us more to think of the favor that is ours in Christ, and we ought to be more thankful. And that thankfulness help us to spill over into our offerings, that our offerings, whatever the amount, may be truly the expression of gratitude from our hearts, especially for your most important and that indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus Himself. And help us, when we worship through our offering, that we would do it with this motive for your pleasure. Thank you indeed for that encouragement, that with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And it is a pleasure, not because we can add anything to you, but because you delight in the giving of ourselves to you. And so we pray that we would learn to cultivate in our hearts that motive of pleasing God in everything, even including in our offering. And may this motive of pleasing you neutralize and indeed mortify the grudging spirit of giving, for it makes giving ugly. Instead, make us, as Paul said, that which you love, a cheerful giver. May we therefore truly make it our prayer that you would take our life and let it be consecrated to yourself. And when we truly are consecrated to yourself, it would be our delight to give of our substance. And may we give as worshipers who are grateful and who are pleasing you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.